If you would, turn to John chapter 7. And, I'm just going to read one verse to start with, but then go back into the account that led up to that one verse. John chapter 7 and verse 46. The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Now, the man they're speaking of is our Lord Jesus Christ. Because our Lord is God. The scriptures are clear about this. Man, the natural man, is not clear about this. But sometimes, even the natural man can see something and understand at least this one certain thing, that this man was different. And that's the case here. Because this chapter starts in verse 1 with Jesus in Galilee, because he would not walk in Jewry. He wasn't going to walk amongst the Jews. Why? Because they sought to kill him. And it wasn't his time. But then he does go to the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is where this account takes place. He goes to Jerusalem. Now, he goes secretly, not openly. But he doesn't stay secret. Now, why did he do this, even though they were trying to kill him? He was obeying the law, keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. He must go to Jerusalem. And how do I know that? Well, I know that because he did. Wherever Christ was where Christ needed to be. Now, man may see things that Christ has said as things that make no sense. In the natural man, this is especially so. Because the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. That's just the truth. But these men found out that never man spoke like this man. So he confounded these men. And everything he says that they heard that is recorded here in the scriptures, it's in four verses, and it's two very short statements. You know, this is not the Sermon on the Mount, which is just line after line after line after line of glorious truth. This is four verses, it's two statements. But yet that was enough to confound these men that were, and it says here, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured and such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. That's verse 32. That's who these men were. They were officers. Now, I am assuming, it doesn't specifically state it, but it seems to be that they are Jewish officers. They didn't send Roman soldiers. This was the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they sent people of the temple, guards of the temple, whatever, to go get Jesus and to bring him to him. That's what they wanted. It says they sent officers to take him. That was the plan. Unfortunately for them, it wasn't God's plan. And guess what? God's plan always overrides man's plans. Every single time. But in these two short statements, it was enough to confound these officers that A, they didn't take him, and B, they went back and told these chief priests and the Pharisees this: never man spake like this man. And they got upset with him. Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them. That's the same Nicodemus that came by night. He that came to Jesus by night being one of them. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and knoweth what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. And Jesus, our Lord, was not taken by these men. They made this statement. Never man spake like this man. Now, Walter, when I read this, I was tempted to just basically list a bunch of wonderful things Christ said that confounded people. Because there's so much that we have in the scriptures that is confounding to the natural man, spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. But then I just said, no, I'm going to look at what it is. And I looked at this, and this is what we have. This is what confounded these men. Two statements. It's in John 7:33 and 34. And then in John 7:37 and 7:38. That's all it took. Four verses, two statements. The first statement is this. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and whither I am, thither ye cannot come. He said, I'm here, but I'm not going to be here for long. And I'm going to the one who sent me. And to him you cannot go. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. Now the people talked amongst themselves after he said this. And said, Whither will he go? This is verse 35. That we shall not find him. Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this? Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and whither I am, thither ye cannot come. Jesus Christ was going to leave this world after the death of the cross. He knew why he was here.
Amen.
He knew what he came to do. Man does not understand the ways of God. That's a simple fact. It's a simple fact. And whither I go, ye cannot come. You'll seek and you won't find me. Because where I am, I am. I am. Ye cannot come. And the second thing he said, in verse 37, starts, In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
Amen indeed. Jesus stood and he cried aloud. He came secretly to the feast, but he spoke openly. This was not done quietly. This was not done secretly. Because there is no secret gospel. Now, CNN and the History Channel, to the contrary. There is no secret gospel. Our Lord came and preached aloud and publicly. He had no secret ministry. The world wants to think that. The world does want to think that, but the world is wrong. Now, granted, I will tell you this. He explained things more thoroughly to his disciples than he did to some others.
Amen.
But it wasn't a different message.
No, same message.
It was the same message. He explained the parable of the sower.
Yeah.
And he told them, Unto you it is given to know, but unto them it is not given.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore he spoke in parables so that some would not understand. But what he explained was what he said in the parable. And he said at the end of most parables, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Amen.
There's no secret gospel. And besides that, the reason we know that is because his disciples wrote it all down. What he told them afterwards and what he told them when he explained things more fully to them, because they were men also, and they didn't always understand. But there is no secret to this. Our Lord cried openly. And he cried openly the one gospel that there is. And it's his gospel. He did tell them sometimes not to broadcast some things until after I'd be gone. He also told them that the Holy Ghost was going to bring to remembrance what I said to you. And he did. Now, what did he cry? If any man thirst. If any man thirst. He cried this aloud. Like I said, this wasn't a quiet press conference. He cried this aloud. If any man thirst. The reason he cried aloud is because that statement right there is very important. This was a spoken qualifier by our Lord Jesus Christ. He's only talking to the thirsty here. Why? Because if you're thirsty, you got a need. If you're thirsty, you know you're thirsty. Our Lord came not to call the righteous. He came to call sinners. What? Unto repentance.
Amen. That's right.
But he came to call sinners. Now, there are none righteous. No, not one. Paul's very clear about that. But there are those who think they are. Henry Mahan used to say, I don't know who he was quoting, but he used to say, a sinner is a precious thing. Because the Holy Ghost has made him so. We don't naturally know we are sinners. Not true sinners. Because see, the world has a tendency, the natural man has a tendency to come with this idea, because we sin and do things wrong, we are sinners. That's not correct. That's getting the cart before the horse. We sin and do things wrong and commit iniquities and trespasses and everything else because we are sinners. And that's who our Lord came to call, sinners unto repentance, not those who think they're righteous. This is a qualifier. Thirsty people have desire. And this is the other thing. Thirsty people will act. Sated people, people who are satisfied, will not. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Don't come to the law. Come to me. Mm-hmm. And guess where he was at? He's at the temple. Don't come to the temple. Come to me. Mm-hmm. Imagine some of those Jews might get a little upset about something like that. This is what our Lord cried out at the temple, at the Feast of Tabernacles. Come unto me. If you're thirsty, come unto me. And drink. And drink. Come unto me. Don't come to the law. Don't come to the temple. Because the law can't help you.
Amen.
All the only thing the law can do is condemn you.
Yeah.
And the temple can't help you, because the blood of bulls and goats never took away one single sin, ever. Even when it was required by the law in the Old Testament, and they were offered day after day, 2 burnt offerings every day. Start in the morning and start in the evening, because in the evening and the morning is the first day. You had a burnt offering. But those burnt offerings never took away one single sin. But they pointed to the one who was here.
Amen, that's right.
They pointed to this one. And he says, if you're thirsty, come to me. Come to me. And I can tell you this. If you're thirsty, you will come to him. If you know you're a sinner, you will come to him. But here, being thirsty is the same as being a sinner. It's not a natural thing. Somebody's got to let you know you are thirsty. Just as somebody has to know, let you know you are a sinner. The temple can't help you. The sacrifices can't help you. And they never could. He just told, and this is the funny thing here when you think about it, at the end of John chapter 6, he just told them, no man can come unto me except that we're given him of my Father. And a multitude of them went back, went backwards, and walked no more with him. But he qualifies this. If you're thirsty, come unto me. Well, now, I'm putting 2 and 2 together here, but I think this is correct. If you're thirsty, it's because it has been given to you of the Father.
Amen, that's right.
That's what it is. It's not a natural thing, because the thirsty will come.
Amen.
And drink. See, it's not enough just to come. You got to drink, or you're still going to be thirsty. And the thirsty come to him and they drink. What does that mean? They partake of him. He gives himself to them. And this is the work of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. It is not the work of men. Because like I said, he just told them, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. No man can come unto me unless it be given to him of my Father. And they left him. And here he's telling them, come to me. But he said, if you're thirsty, if you're thirsty, come unto me. I'm going to tell you something. You can't stop the thirsty if they know there's water.
Amen, that's right.
Just get in their way and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, they say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, if he's thirsty, you better get out of the horse's way. The next thing he says is, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come unto me and drink. What? He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, as the scripture hath said. See, this is where we think it starts with men. Now, it's not where it starts with God and Christ. But this is where we come to know some things. When you believe on him. But you know something before that, because you come to him. You call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. This is where it starts for us in experience. Now, it started before the foundation of the world with God and the Son and election. That's all true. But here's where it starts with us. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Faith in Christ is not new. Because he says, he that believeth on me, what? As the scripture hath said. That's Old Testament. One of the reasons, it's actually from what I can gather, what everyone's got down as a reference is Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. And I'll get to that in just a second. But one of the reasons we have the books that we have in the Old Testament, and actually it's the best reason we have, is because Jesus Christ quoted from those books. There's a reason you'll notice in some, and I know it's in the Catholic Bible, I know it's in some others, there's a section of books called the Apocrypha. There's a reason it's not in the King James Version. Because it's not quoted in the New Testament anywhere by Christ or any of his apostles. So there may be some truth in them. I have not studied them. Don't have enough time. But that's why they're left out. But here it is. We are constantly, by Christ and by his apostles, referred back to the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament told the story that this one, this man, this God-man was coming.
Amen, that's right.
As the scripture saith, believeth on me. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15, it says, these are the words of Moses writing, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. Of thy brethren, here's the key phrase, like unto me. That's the Lord saying it through Moses, like unto me. Unto him, ye shall hearken. You're going to listen to him. And I'm here to tell you today, men will listen to him if he's made them thirsty for him. As the scripture has said, they're going to hearken to him. They're going to believe him. You're going to listen. And not only listen, you're going to want to listen to his words. Why? How? Because God will change your want to. There was a time I didn't want to be here, Mac. There was a time I didn't want to be bothered by this stuff. There was a time I wasn't bothered by this stuff. But one day, the Lord got a hold of me, and I knew it. I don't know how I knew it. Not then. I don't know how it happened. All I knew is that things about my soul bothered me. And I hearkened unto the one who was speaking to me.
Yeah.
Why? Because that is the work of God. No man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. When he gives it to you, you will come. If you're thirsty, come unto me, what? And drink, partake. Because he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, to him, unto him, ye shall hearken. You'll listen. And what is it? Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now there's no need for me to explain this. Because John tells you what it means in the next verse. Walter and I had a discussion yesterday a little bit about this, is talking about the way some people talk about, well, the way you interpret Scripture is with Scripture. In a sense, that's true. In a sense, it's not. We're not really in the interpretation business. Because we're given the interpretation right here.
Amen.
We are to expound upon, we are to exhort, we are to rebuke. With all long suffering and doctrine. Never says in there that we're to interpret.
No.
Never. And when you're doing it from Greek to English, that's Walter point. That's translation. That's not interpretation. That's translation. You're just translating words. What word did Paul the Apostle use? What word did John the Apostle use? But John does this, and I really love it because it saves me a lot of trouble. You got John's commentary on the previous verse. He says in verse 39, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water is the Spirit of God in the believer. That's what Christ was speaking of.
Amen.
I don't have to interpret that. John just did. The rivers of living waters flowing is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, however, at that time, was not yet. Now he is. When John wrote this, he is. Because Jesus, our Lord, right now is glorified, sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the Holy Spirit is now.
Amen.
He was not yet, but now he is. It's not that he was created, it's just that he has come to indwell the people of God, and out from you flow rivers of living water. The Spirit of God resides, dwells, abides in every single child of God. How do we know it? If we believe. If we were thirsty and we come to Him and we believe. If we hearken to Him, out of you shall flow rivers of living water. I can tell you this. This is the exact same thing He told that Samaritan woman at the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. If I go, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And our Lord is glorified now. He that believes, faith is the gift of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is a time element in the salvation of the people of God. Election is not salvation, it is unto salvation.
Amen.
Because in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. And in time, the elect of God are brought into Christ Jesus. They are thirsty. They become thirsty. And they come to Him and they partake of Him. They drink. God manifest in the flesh has been glorified. God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord is glorified. And Jesus Christ our Lord shall always be glorified. And the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in every child of God in time. Because the elect are brought into Christ. Other sheep I have. What? Them I must bring. He's bringing them in now. He's bringing them in now. Why? He must. Mm-hmm. I didn't said it. He said it. Of course I said it, but I just repeated what he said. I must bring them in. What's he doing? He's bringing them in. And they become thirsty, and they come to him, and they drink, and they follow. To him ye shall hearken. Because if you thirst, come to him. If any hunger or thirst after righteousness, he's blessed. If any man hunger and thirst after righteousness, what? Blessed are they, for they shall be filled. It's the gift of God to hunger and to thirst after righteousness.
Yes, amen.
It's not natural. It's not natural. The world doesn't want it. The world won't have it. The world doesn't like it.
Amen.
They don't even like people to talk like this. Because we now, if you believe, have been given the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. For he has been made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Yeah.
And these fellows went back, and I believe you can almost say this, I don't think there was ever a truer word spoken. Never, never, never man spake like this man. And that's why they wanted to kill him. It was because of what he had been saying. Oh, gee, we don't need to go to church. We don't need to hear preachers. Well, some preachers, yeah, you don't need to hear. Trust me. Okay? A lot of preachers you don't need to hear. But you need to hearken unto this man. You need to come to this God man. And if you hunger and you thirst after righteousness, you're going to be filled. You're going to get so much more than you can handle. That you're only going to get it in little dribs and drabs. And you got to take it line upon line and line upon line and precept upon precept and precept upon precept.
Yeah.
Because you can't handle it all. I can't handle it all. No one can handle it all. Except him. Because he is all.
Yeah.
He is all in all. And by him all things consist. What consists? Everything he created. Every single thing. But he has his sheep. And they're already his. And he's calling them out and making them thirsty. And they're going to come to him and they're going to drink. And out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. They're going to have something to share with someone else, Walter. It will leak out on you what he does. Our Father, thank you. Thank you so much for everything you have done. Thank you most of all for our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and gave himself for his people and saved them from their sins and is now bringing in many sons to glory. Be with Walter as he comes to preach your word, and be with us as we go forth from here into this world. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done and all you are doing and all you shall do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.